Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. So Kathy is having this existential crisis about how like the whole town loves him and everything. And he's like, but if the whole town loves me, and then does that mean that you're in love with me basically? And she goes, stop, stop right there. Okay. I used the wrong word. Okay. Look, do I think you're nice? Of course. Do I love, you know, seeing you help everyone out? Yes. Am I attracted to you despite the fact that it's like talking to a six-year-old? Yes. Am I concerned about this? Yes. Do we have a therapist in town? Only Dr. Dottie. Am I concerned about going to her for therapy? Perhaps. Is she my only option? This is my life, okay? This is my life.
So she's like, this is the reason I can't say love. Because my life is a mess. I don't take care of my house. I don't take care of my butt. I don't even put in my anymore.
You should see the state of my butt.
You should see
when
it.
I see those,
I have a bidet and I don't even use it anymore.
The Charmin Bears.
You don't understand.
My butt is dilapidated.
I am not convinced that I can really love someone right now because I'm not convinced I've figured out how to love myself.
You don't need to love yourself to love other people. I've never loved myself. I can love anybody.
Put a pin in that. She also says, even if you were the person I loved, you're my tenant. I went, no, tenants pay rent.
Not in LA, not necessarily.
Suddenly she has like a moral code about the people who crash on her bed and like learn skills from the TV.
It's so weird. But she was talking about, I can't convince someone because I can't love myself without Paul.
It's like, who's Paul?
Clearly
there was like an earlier draft where it was merely that she was the landlord and he was the tenant, and the mayor was cracking down on like housing codes, but now the mayor's gone and the landlord situation's gone. So, but that was like a remnant that just floated through.
She goes, I'm getting grief counseling from a snowman.
What a bitch.
So Jack's like, you know, I've got to thank Paul. I think Paul probably saw the same amazing person that I see. And I've got to think, like, he wouldn't want this amazing person to think that she's anything less than amazing. Stop. You're amazing. You deserve a gold star. Ew, why is he acting like this? It's just so weird. Just put on a diaper, you little wah-wah. It's fetishy and weird. I don't like it.
It is fetishy.
I just don't believe anyone could love me as much as Paul loved me. I'll tell you, Paul loved me more than he hated Nancy Pelosi.
I gotta say, I don't think anyone can love me as much as double stuffed Oreos and a glass of milk. That's love to me, bitch.
There have only been two men who've shown me consistent love, Ben and Jerry. Okay. like nothing better from the rest of you.
So now they're driving back. They're driving home after this moment. And then he's like, stop, stop, stop. The new glass is here. And he jumps out of the car. And she's like, wait, what are you talking about? Because the thrift store, whatever, Reclaimed Rags, is getting a new glass.
Rambling Rags or whatever.
they really expedited that glass because I don't think glass takes that is that going to get.
Yeah, they had him. That would have been like a really large. They would have to make that glass specifically.
Also, awesome Amazon shit.
That would take a while. He's helping them put it up, and I just want to say this: installing glass is very difficult, and it is a skill. It is not something you can learn from HGTV. I watch a lot of, I'm an HGTV bitch. I watch half of those shows. I love them. Never do they install fucking a huge glass pane window because that's something for professionals.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for finally advocating for window professionals. And on top of that,
it's about time somebody stood up for those people.
It's about time.
We do find out that he says, I ordered it from the store. And she And we also realize he doesn't know how money works. So this is the other thing. He's not sure how currency, because he didn't
pay But he learned how to order something on the internet.
Yes.
But he doesn't know. I don't know. Did he learn Safari or is he using Opera or Firefox?
Like, and was he? How did he get all the passwords to put in there without a fingerprint? Or something? I mean, whatever.
But he doesn't have fingerprints.
No, man. You know what
I mean? But he doesn't have fingerprints, so he can't.
Well, honestly, like, knowing Kathy, she probably has a really sad password. It's probably just like Paul.
It is just Paul, all lowercase.
Yeah, that's Paul. That's so sad. So
you know, he's like, watch her type it in. So he's so like, they're confessing.
He's confessing to the store owner all of this stuff, and they're just kind of looking at him, going, "Yeah, okay." And they're like, "Keep the clothes. No one can be mad at Christmas." And then I went,
"You needed it more than you have a problem." I'm so sorry.
That and they didn't notice the scarf. They didn't even fucking notice.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a
good point.
Was he wearing the scarf at this moment?
Yes.
Because that would have been a moment where Mel could have gone look to Lacey at each other. And said, I saw the scarf.
This was the biggest misfire in the whole movie for me.
She was fucked by frosting when she was 20 years old, and it's the best snow cock she ever had.
She's like, you may not remember us, but I remember you.
Yeah. Not only he fucked her and froze all of her vaginal warts all in one hit.
Oh, great.
Good Lord.
So
didn't give a fuck this lady. And then she's like, hey, wait a second. So you stole. It's like, yeah. She's like, oh, that's cool. You're hot. And he's like, wait a minute, but I didn't pay for that either. She's like, we literally don't care. We're hippies. He's like, okay.
We never like those galoshes.
This is a front. Well, this is a front. Yeah.
It feels like it's a front for just
it is a front.
Swingers. It is swingers.
So Kathy is watching him in the store. And then all of a sudden, the deputy sheriff, Ed, he like sneaks up, and then they have this comic thing where like he's like looking for Jack, and she's going to try to distract him. And she's like, oh, come with me over here. Come to my diner. You should come to the diner, because they really want to get a. There was a sketch.
Okay.
There was a police sketch that was made. I don't think Ethel gave the description, because if it had been Ethel, like, the sketch would have been way hotter.
The sheriff like was like, well, Manson. She gave us a description, but we needed something of his face.
It looked terrible. Like, this guy had like, it was dark circles under his eyes. His hair was crazy. And then
he looked the way you guys described him in the opening of this movie, actually.
Well, then, because the sheriff said he looked just like your friend.
You're like, he's about to die, guys. The way you guys described this poor person at the beginning of the movie, were you giving the description to the sketch artist?
Iggy Pop has popped.
Iggy Pop, yeah.
He's giving a lot of Iggy Pop in this moment. So she distracts him, because she's like, I like this moment. She's dragging him into this. She wants to distract him away from Jack. So she's going to bring him into the diner. And she goes, hey, how does a bowl of soup sound? And then Ed just starts going.
This was so weird.
And I was like, what's happening?
He's
like,
this was a weird comic. This didn't land.
This landed for me very much so.
Oh, it did.
I was like, what is he doing? I think he's like, oh, this is what a bowl of soup sounds like.
Yeah.
I have to say.
I think he's from the state. Wasn't he in the state? Or he was in the state.
I'm glad you liked it. For me, I thought it was odd.
This movie could have used what's her name, who's also in the state, who's in Reno 911.
Carrie Kenney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie really could have weird
character actors. We could have used weird character actors.
I know. I'm going to say this. My theory is that she had Lauren Holly's role, and then she had the dropouts. So they got Lauren Holly, because Lauren Holly's role is actually a Carrie Kinney role. If you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
We have an announcement to the audience. Ronnie is getting furniture delivered.
Yeah.
So he will be away from us for the next 5 minutes of the recording. So it will just be us soldiering on without him during this very important movie.
He's like one of the maintenance men. He died on the bridge.
Missing in action.
Yes.
Okay. So Kathy brings Ed into the restaurant, and she lures him in with promises of chowders and beef barley soups. So
yes,
this is true. So then. Then the sheriff walks in, and he goes up to the thrift store, and he's like, well, the new glass looks good. But don't worry, we'll find out who broke in, because you can replace glass, but you can't replace the pane. To which Mel says, we actually didn't replace the pane. We have a whole new pane of glass here.
Yeah. No, pain, P-A-I-N.
Yeah.
Why would I want to replace pain? It's just, I got to say.
This was Mel's big comic moment. You know,
this, I got to say, in a Hallmark movie, this interchange would not have happened. And it was helped by, I don't know if this was written or what, or they just played. I can't believe a moment like this. It was totally not like the rest of the script. I can't, maybe it was improvised, or maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, because he goes, no, pain, P-A-I-N, like pain, like the pain you feel. And she goes, well, why would I want to replace pain?
Yes.
She's like, oh, she gets very deep.
I loved it.
Very.
He's like, it's a metaphor. Okay, I'm just trying to have a scene here. So
my Lord.
He's like, look, it's a metaphor. I know what I meant. What's important is, okay, leave the metaphors around here to me.
Leave,
okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, who installed this glass? Because I'm carrying out a very important investigation about.
Well, there are a lot window. Of shots of him holding it going. Like a lot. So clearly he did, but there was no one else. You didn't see anyone else do it.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, Jack did it, Kathy's friend. And he's like, well, I wonder why he would do that. I have to say, this is not great police work. I feel like these are not hot leads, I would say.
Mm-mm. No, it's very shoddy. It's again, if there was a gay man who made the snowman, mm-hmm. who is out for snow vengeance, he yes. would then put in the sheriff's ear to say, look, maybe the gay man is the mayor. The gay man is the mayor.
Well, that would work for me.
Listen, Sheriff Hunter, if you want to be up for election in 6 months, you better find this snowman.
Find my snow hunk.
Because I got to ride that snow dick like a fucking holly bell before New Year's Eve.
But like instead, the sheriff is just like really driven to make sure there's no crime in this town whatsoever. We don't know why he's driven by this, but he is determined. I mean, these people don't even want to press charges. They don't care.
No.
The storyline has actually been settled. The entire arc of this story, it's done. He already confessed. They said, no big deal. Have a great day. The movie basically is over.
Yes, the movie is over. Then he's decorating for this dance, and then he sees this kid trying to ask another girl to the dance, and I said, who the fuck are these people?
He's sitting in this weird chair.
So is this the chair scene?
Yes, this is a throne. He's sitting in this weird throne, so he's kind of hidden from these two kids that are asking. We've never seen these two teenagers before, ever.
Well, were these the kids? There was a moment during the montage where he introduces someone to someone. Maybe he introduced these two people together. It was so slight.
Something like that, but it was very little. And her name, by the way, she's never named. Her name is Katie, like in Mean Girls.
Oh
yeah, same spelling, C-A-D-Y. Mm-hmm.
So
what was his name?
The thing.
His name was Matthew.
Oh yeah, it was.
They didn't want to push it. So
they didn't want to get sued.
Yeah. So he's sitting in this throne kind of thing that kind of like hides him, and he's clearly about to overhear something. So you think, oh, he's gonna overhear something that's gonna move the plot forward.
Right. No, it's just him asking her to the dance.
It's one child asking another child if they want to dance, and then they hold hands and walk out. And so he's like, oh, but, okay, I've learned how to ask someone dance now.
Cool, now cool, I get to ask her.
Now he knows how to ask dance. Someone because he would never know. They just should have. Why couldn't they just shown a fucking Christmas Netflix movie of him watching someone ask someone out that they've been doing, because they only did that twice. And if they really wanted to do a correct callback, that would have been a perfect third moment for that clip.
But instead, you know, there's a location.
This guy never read Truth in Comedy fucking ever.
But also, like, how about have the student ask him, be like, hey, Jack, there's a girl I like. I want to ask her out. How do I do that? And he's like, well, I don't really know.
Great idea. Let's watch a Netflix movie.
And then they like, and then like he guides the kids. He's being like kind of more adult.
This is great.
And then it's sweet and it's lovely. And then he like gets inspiration. He's like, well, if the kid can do it, I should be able to do it too. But instead, he just lingers in a random throne that makes no sense. I don't know why that throne is part of the middle school dance decor, but it's there. He's hiding in it and he overhears and decides he wants to do the same thing.
Sidebar, have your middle school dance ever been that elaborate? Oh my never. God.
It was just like you go to a community house and then they play like CNC Music Factory and like the boys dance here, the girls dance here, and you make this weird line.
We had a pretty elaborate one once. It was our theme was whites and night. Knights in white satin. I'll never forget it. And the decorations were incredible. And I still can't think of that song without being kind of traumatized because I was like, I'm not going to that. But then I saw everybody going and I was like, wow, it's so glamorous. I could have worn a ball gown and I just gave it up for what? To sit at home and watch Facts of Life again. Knights in white satin.
I just listened to that song yesterday. I used to be very coy at those dances. I would sit on the side and be like, I want someone to ask me, not realizing that like the way it works is the boy is supposed to ask the girl.
I got very involved. I would plan the entertainment because our prom was in the cafetorium, so which was a cafeteria / auditorium. It's where we had choir practice, but sometimes it would get interrupted
they
by
didn't
the lunch.
Do it in a hotel. Body. They didn't do it like in like a ballroom or something.
No, because if you went off school campus, then Baptists would be worried we'd have sex. Oh. So they kept it all on campus. But ours was Hypnotize the Moon, which was a Clay Walker country song. And I organized the entertainment and I was very involved in the entertainment. So I didn't have to worry about my date who wanted me to make out with her and go to an after party. And I was terrified.
Foolish girl.
I was like, I can't. She said, do you want to come to this after party? And I said, I can't do that. I got to take down the choir steps. And then I have to go to the Lone Grove Baptist lock-in, which was right across.
And then
the
I got to hide in the locker room and watch the football team come back in.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Oh God. The lock-ins were the worst. Church lock-ins.
Mine was great because half the guys took off their shirts to play Shirts and Skin. It was the best fucking prom I've ever had.
I got robbed. What the hell?
Yeah.
We just hid in different rooms of ours and just hope people wouldn't find her.
Hope you wouldn't find her. What's going on in your church lock-ins?
And we just hid bodies all the time. Oh, Ben.
Where you get locked into the church.
It's this basically so you can kind of supervise each other and you want to make it because idle hands kiss fuck each other.
I'm sorry, and you're Jewish. You don't understand this weird shit.
Yeah, I don't know any of this.
And usually it was a church. You kind of got locked in with the church.
They would often do carnival games like a cornhole and then church leaders were there. You would get a prize.
And then they proselytized you and you learned about religion. Yeah,
it was all salesmen for Jesus to kids. Like they put all the kids in the church and locked them in.
It sounds like a timeshare experience.
Kind of.
It was a soul share. You give up your soul to them and your parents give them 10% of what they make. I went to one and it was like a new place. My mom wanted us to go with some neighborhood kids or like country club kids or whatever. And she put us in there. We'd never been to this church. It was like a new lock-in thing. So we go in there and they're like, guys, we are no longer going to have this youth group. And the kids were like, oh, what? But why? And they're like, because you are getting too far from Jesus Christ. You are straying. We have heard that you are kissing. We have heard that you are going to parties, pastor curfew. This is not what we do here. This is not what and they're like sobbing. And then all the kids around us started sobbing. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And we couldn't. We were stuck with these crazy crying idiots all night long.
Yeah, they locked
me
you
and
in.
The other kids were like, fuck this.
Please tell me you follow Christopher Ryan Stamey on Instagram or TikTok.
Oh, he's so funny.
Have you seen that? He's this Southern guy that does these different voices of people, but he does the church.
Wigs.
He's in wigs, and he does the church lady that always cries during the announcements. She's like, and I just want to let everybody know that we need a park behind the church tonight because Brother Timothy has got his cancer treatment, and you know that van doesn't fit if we're parked there. And it's amazing.
Cries during the church announcements.
Funny.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like John Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
They say Hollywood is where dreams are made. A seductive city where many flock to get rich, be adored, and capture America's heart. But when the spotlight turns off, fame, fortune, and lives can disappear in an instant. When TV producer Roy Radin was found dead in a canyon near LA in 1983, there were many questions surrounding his death. The last person seen with him was Lainey Jacobs, a seductive cocaine dealer who desperately wanted to be part of the Hollywood elite. Together, they were trying to break into the movie industry. But things took a dark turn when $1 million worth of cocaine and cash went missing. From Wondery comes a new season of the hit show Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder. Follow Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Cotton Club Murder early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Yeah.
Are we to the point where he's walking into the police station?
He walks in the police station, and so the sheriff has put up yarn all over the board, like this
true detective style.
And he's like, it's a tangled web, and I just need a bigger picture. I just wish I had a photo of Jack. He's in this somehow. I know it. And because you know what? Because earlier he had walked down the street and right before this, he had walked by an ATM. Is this where he was walked by the ATM?
I think that was like, when he said, there's the ATM machine. He says, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I need that.
Yeah. He was like, all the cameras were off, but not the ATM. So now he has like a printout, but the printout's not good enough. Meanwhile, you're a police officer. You can literally just go find him and take a picture of him. But luckily, he doesn't have to do that. Because Jack just shows up and he's like, hey, what's going on? Hey, cool art project. You're just taking pictures of people in town? He's like, I am. Would you like me to take your picture? And he's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. This made me laugh. This was funny. He's got a flip phone. He's like,
from like an LG, like the LG I had in 2005.
I don't get that. I don't get why he has a flip phone, but sure.
So then he's asking the deputy for advice because he's like, because I've never been on a date before. And I'm like, because you were born like 4 days ago. And he's like, how can you date? You're a 10. And then we have this discussion about what
the deputy is like, yes.
And I'm not on your level. And he's like, are you kidding? Your smile, your mustache. And they go this whole thing about pockets and he goes, it really hugs your chest. And he basically says,
he says those brown lapels emphasize your chest. I don't know how he knows what lapels are again, but whatever.
Well, he was watching like the DIY channel, so I think that's a good chance he could pick that
I don't
up.
Think they talk about lapels on Hometown.
Well, they should.
They should.
And Ed at this point is thinking like, do I have a shot with this guy?
I know.
Like the 10.
Like in a long
he's, like,
time.
Really thinking about it.
Okay, did y'all? And so then he says, I don't know what to do about kissing, and he kind of is explaining how to kiss. I don't know if it's because I'm a flaming homosexual, but I think just for the plot, I really wanted them to kiss a little bit and this guy to fall in love with him.
This was their wacky, like, well, let's make a gay insinuation scene.
I know. And that was so stupid. And I'm like, if they actually had kissed, because
that would have been that would have been much better.
Yeah. Why does a snowman need to be straight?
Yeah. That's what I was saying at the beginning. This should be a gay man who's like learning to, who's like very cold on the inside and learning to love. I'm available.
And then Lauren Holly and her posse of middle-aged women could watch and say, well, ladies, I guess we should have known this would happen to the martinis. You know, it would have been great.
Yes.
What the deputy tells him, but you know, if you're having, here's how you date. If you're having fun and you're paying attention, if she's having fun, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So that is the date philosophy. And that's when they, they're practicing. Then they start practicing dancing and the sheriff sees, he's like, what in the world is going on in this town?
By the way, the sheriff deputy is named Ed Schatz.
I personally think
Detective Schatz.
I think they should have kissed. I think they should have kissed. He should have fallen in love with Jack Frost. And then sequel, at the end of this movie, he realizes that's not the we see him making his own snowman with a twinkle in his eye and cut to Hot Frosty 2 with Chris Evans.
He was the one who made it. So now we go back to Kathy's house. I loved this moment. Please tell me you guys all noticed this. We go back to Kathy's house. Jack walks in, or Kathy walks, someone walks in, but Kathy's like, Jack, I have the funniest story to tell you. Where are you, Jack? What's going on? He's like, hey. He's like, okay. So Mrs. Johnson ordered today's lunch special. And he goes, sorry to interrupt. I know you were showing a glimmer of a personality, but I have something more pressing to talk about. she just like, whatever.
Mrs. Robinson was ordering the special. You know, it was a terrible story too.
He's like, I'm only about 3 or 4 days old, but even I have learned.
Even I was checking out during that.
I can't listen to any more of your Mrs. Johnson stories. Okay.
I swear to God, if there's no one more Mrs. Johnson story,
I'm going to throw myself in that fucking microwave. I'm going to put a birthday candle in my head and light it.
Every single thing has been about Jack and Jack learning this, Jack learning about pizza and about the oven. She finally has something to share about her life. He's like, yeah, never mind. Anyway, I've got something to talk to you about.
She was so rude. And she's like, okay, I mean, I guess women are from Mars. Men are from wherever the fuck. And he's like, well, I'm just so nervous, but I want to say, well, you go to the school's Christmas dance with me. And she's like, what? You're going to a dance at a school? He's like, I'm the chaperone. It's like, my job, Kathy. You want to go with me? Boop, boop, boop.
Boop, boop. She's like, oh, well, I have. And he's like, you've probably been asked by someone. She's like, no, because I'm not in middle school. So it would not be normal for me to be asked to a middle school dance. But
I don't date actual middle schoolers. Just guys
that act just like mental ones.
Just mental ones.
I don't have a date to the middle school because I'm an adult. I have other activities to do.
And she basically, then he says, Kathy, I've been trying to lay low like you wanted.
Sorry. It's just so obvious, but also so hilarious.
No, I haven't been asked. It's not because I'm lonely. It's just because I do things like read books or watch TV. I have a car. You know? I can drive places. I can go shopping. I can go check in to see if that bridge has been fixed.
The last time I dated a child was on accident because I ordered something named Claire on fucking Wayfair. I mean, Jesus Christ. Sorry.
No one asked you because you're a bitch.
poor Kathy, it all comes, man. It all comes out. Kathy can't win.
I'm sorry, Poodle. You were saying
I was trying to do this dialogue that he this line that some that the screenwriter went, oh, this is great. Yeah. He went,
good one.
I've been trying to lay low like you wanted, but for once, I just want to stand tall with you. Even if it's just one night, please.
For once, he's been lighting up this town for 5 straight days and he's going to act like he's been laying low. Please, sir.
Stop. I want to stand tall with you. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
He's going to stand tall and stand proud because voices that care are
crying out. Voices that care are crying out loud.
Carry our crying out loud. Oh, and when the man comes around, da 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 da, everything I'm dying out loud. I know it. It was in my head.
Isn't it voices that care? I believe
voices that
I don't know.
Stand tall. stand proud.
But when you sit, when you said stand tall, that's where my head went. And I went, nobody else is going to know that. So I'm not going to sing it, but I wanted to. So the fact that we all, Ronnie didn't know what the fuck we were
Ronnie
doing.
Had no idea.
But the fact that the two of you.
I'm actually proud of myself. I'm actually proud of myself for being the least gay of all of us here.
Stand proud.
Maybe sang that song.
It was for Desert Storm, and it was the great like sequel to Where Are the World. And for
it was supposed to be that
Voices That Care by David Foster.
So it was a David Foster song. Yeah. Where Are the World sequel.
I recently rewatched that like video, like I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the number meaning as opposed to 15 years ago.
Okay,
and the assortment of celebrities that they gathered for this song is so hilarious, and I'll always remember Meryl Streep in the front just singing along. I think they had Celine Dion. They had like just some randos, like Nelson, I think, was in it.
Weird.
Yeah. You know what? I don't really want to be famous, but I want to be famous to do stuff like that where I can just show up and do coke with a bunch of celebrities and lip sync.
Like Kim Carnes.
That's the best.
Kim Carnes got to be on We Are the World. She had one hit, Betty Davis Eyes. She got into We Are the World as a result of it. And now she gets to, like when I watched that, The Greatest Night in Pop, and they have like, you know, all these huge stars, Michael Jackson. Kim Carnes got, she was just struck a big at the right moment. I would love to be famous just enough to be part of
she
like,
did. She did have one song. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah.
It is a good one.
Betty Davis Eyes.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay. So she says yes. And she's like, but Jack, what are you going to wear?
Boom, 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 boom.
And I went, when you first heard, I went, wait, this is a Pond 5. They looked up Pretty Woman. This is going to be a Pond 5 song.
No.
And as soon as Roy Orbison started singing, gag.
I got to say, they spent 3 minutes of this movie doing this, and I was shocked, and I also wagered there was probably 30 seconds of just clothes being slow-mo thrown up in the air.
But I'd like to point out that they were all jacket-based clothes, and he never had a problem with that.
Never had a problem with that.
Never.
That's what happens when you get great value Stanley Tucci.
And he was also
your designer. Because that's who that guy was.
He was also wearing the scarf the whole time, and it didn't go with any of the outfits.
Anything.
No. No, the scarf came back, and I was hoping they were going to give him, like, a haircut, like, the proper makeover.
No.
It's like, it's just like watching him go to, like, I don't know, like Jose Banks or something, like whatever.
Like, and let us have the moment where he's kind of maybe a sloppy dress the whole time, or kind of, and then they clean him up and she goes, oh, I wanted snow dick in me. Like, at least have that moment.
He looks the same.
Exactly.
And they basically do the pretty woman. They do the pretty woman thing with the earrings and
cufflinks.
Was it cufflinks?
That makes sense. Why the? You're so gay. Why the fuck would he wear?
I thought that too.
Snowman earrings.
I thought that too. I was like, why would he get earrings?
You think that Kathy in this small town is going to say the last part of your makeover
is earrings? Is snowman earrings? That makes a lot better sense that they're cufflinks. I did not even think about him being needing cufflinks.
Ed is so excited.
I literally thought they were earrings.
But either way, I don't know why she did the pretty woman gag with him. Is he like supposed to represent like
what is it? Is he a hooker? I didn't really understand.
He didn't know. Maybe he'd seen Pretty Woman in this time, since I don't think he sleeps. I'm glad. I did think there were earrings. You know why? I think because I saw
huge.
Big mistake. Huge. I thought he was opening it like to give it to her for a minute, but she was the one giving it to him.
Oh, that's fucking stupid.
She was like, here, the last piece, some negligee. Or a negligee. So they do this whole thing, like a bit of
water all over my desk
for him just to get into you know, a blazer. And and then he's like learning how to do a bow tie, and she's wearing a dress, like a perfectly
okay. two people I watched this was some shitty ass dress.
This was nothing special. It really didn't show off her boobs or her body shape. or it was just
because she's so boring. She's just like, I'm gonna wear what an adult would wear to a school, like a chaperone dance, you know. No, you're supposed to show up like it's your prom, you know. Yeah. Like, he's you're like, supposed to like make it romantic, but she's like, I'm gonna wear a sweater.
He's like, wow, look at that dress. That's not a, it's like not even a wow dress.
It's a basic Amazon dress.
Yes.
It's like a slip dress or something. It's like, it's so, it's just so unremarkable. But then I also would, if she wore like a beautiful, beautiful dress to a middle school dance, I also would have some issues with that. Like, why are you trying to dress?
Well, she may be trampy, but at least she's making an effort, you know. Here's how I feel. I feel like this is kind of like a closeted gay relationship where it's like your first boyfriend, and you're just so happy to have a boyfriend that you're like, oh my God, your jogging pants are so fancy. Like, I can't wait to go to the Olive Garden with you tonight. And then you go out and you're like, this is it, you know, because you're in your small town and you're like, he's so hot. He's like the only gay guy here. I lucked out. And then you go to a place with a lot of gay people and you're like, fuck that guy, was he in jogging pants and took me to an Olive Garden? Fuck him, I hope he dies in a fire. I think that Frosty is going to end up that way, thinking about her that way, like, fuck that girl, she was terrible, she wore a sweater to the dance.
Probably. That felt such strangely like from your past.
Yeah, I felt a little autobiographical about me. You have an
Jackson.
So you never overate on breadsticks in an Olive Garden because your date
never
didn't show
at all.
Up?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's like, yeah. Guess what? I got. Remember how I bought that very expensive piece of custom glassware
with your money,
your credit card?
Yeah.
I also got you something.
Okay.
Really, like,
something else
you
with
got
your money.
Something.
Why wouldn't they have a scene where he goes in and tells Mel he wants to get her something special, and Mel has a snowflake jewelry?
So it probably brings him to Extra Life. Then he just turns into two of himself. It's like,
yes.
Well, here's what I'll tell him. This is here's what I'll tell this lady, Kathy. Kathy, welcome to dating someone hotter than you. This is your life now.
The gift is her abs.
But that's it. You ain't gonna get no more gifts.
I brought you gifts with your credit card. Here you go. Yeah,
he goes, well, I just figured it might be nice to commemorate our time together. It's a snowflake. Because I'm a snowman. And I swear to God, I thought he was going to say, because I'm a snowflake. I've been watching a lot of Fox News, and apparently I'm a snowflake.
And I'm really triggered by all this. The next thing is he gives it to her, and like we had this moment where he might do something, but he like, oh, and he like touches her breasts and like moves it over.
Oh my God. Because she puts on the snowflake. The necklace has a big snowflake pendant. She puts it on and the pendant is up at the top of her clavicle to the left. And he's like, hold on, let me fix that for you. You mean to tell me this woman who is 42 years old and has worn jewelry all her life did not realize her heavy ass pendant was on her shoulder? Like, she was just going to walk out of the house like that. But, he's like, wait a second.
But this idea that he would be, he would be okay with actually touching the area near her breast.
Well, he wouldn't know. He's a snowman.
Cold. He was naked the whole time. He doesn't have any modesty
But that's the thing.
Those are some doctor hands too, by the way, because he's got that cold body temperature. That's like a doctor hand on her clavicle.
True.
That's also something that's super weird. In the beginning, he was ice cold, but now it's like nice when he touches you. It's weird. So she loves a necklace. And then someone's like, hey, are you ready for later? Let's do our secret dabs. So they do the dab thing. And they're going to have a secret dance later, guys. It's going to be majestic.
Did y'all notice that I only did it because there was closed captioning. The song that was playing was, I actually wrote it down. Gold dust on the ground, night's half over now. Soft touch, open hands, love won't understand.
It was actually going to appear in the Wicked movie, but it got...
I have no idea what any of that means. And why is it being played in a middle school dance?
Those kids are sick. At least it wasn't, fuck you in your face, fuck you in your face. I'm going to fuck your stupid face. Have you listened to music on the TikTok?
I'll take some
poetry.
So you're right. So Brandon, the teacher there, I forgot who he was.
He's the son of Lauren Holly, I believe.
The son of Lauren Holly. And there's another girl there. He's like, ready? And that's when you said they did the, and that's like, she's like, and they're going to do their group dance. And Brandon's like, we love him. We never did a background check, but the kids love him too. I see him sitting on his laps all the time. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's really great.
We have this like slow dance moment where they're going to be like, so like, cause the two kids that are, they have like a slow dance. And by the way, learning that the boy is the son of the sheriff and the sheriff is not even chaperoning this sheriff who cares so much about crime, you would think he would be like, I don't want my son getting up to any funny business. Touching at the middle school dance.
He would be footloosing.
Like, yeah. Also, this dance was trash. And I'm not a great dancer, but I would do better than this. This was trash.
They didn't even play the music. I was like, what is the music playing? It was like in an echo chamber. I like think they played the music live.
Yeah.
And they didn't like strange. Have a voiceover of the music. So the audience couldn't really hear the music. It was just some weird thing that it was a badly done musical number. And I love a musical number.
Yes.
It was strange group dance, I think solely so that way it could be put in the trailer maybe, but it was bizarre. But then Jack is dancing so hard that he starts to sweat. And then he's gonna die. He's gonna dance to death.
Well, she looks at an ice sculpture and she sees the ice sculpture melted and she goes,
she's too dumb to understand what the temperature is. She's like, oh wow.
That's where
hot or is it cold in here? I don't know. Let me look at that sculpture.
I believe in her head, that is what she's decided that he became a snowman. That was the moment where she said, oh, he needs to be outside because he's an actual snowman.
Yeah, she saw the literal. She needed the literal snowman representation.
She needed the actual literal snowman to figure that out.
Yes.
Well, and also he told her at the beginning of this dance, he pointed to the snowman and said, look like somebody you know.
That's right. He also drew a small snowman, too, in the doctor's office, if you remember that, and said, look.
Yes, he did.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
They do this whole like flash mob thing, whatever. And so she's like, okay, you got to come on. I'll
tell you something.
What?
Sorry. I know this is 10 hours. There are workmen here right now removing a hot tub that like was left over from the last house. And they're like, we got it. It's no problem. I said, have you ever done it? And they're like, no, but I'm sure it's totally fine. Nothing to worry about. Please just go do your work and don't worry about this. So I come back up here. I have this Ring camera and it keeps giving notifications and you just see them running back and forth. It's like ding, and you just see a little guy running.
Oh no, something is going terribly wrong on your.
Something's going terribly wrong, Ronnie.
Whatever. At some point, you just get used to it. It's every day. It's
God.
Sorry to interrupt you.
He basically says, "Let's go outside for some air." She says, and she's like, I've never had so much fun. Dancing is so great. Life is so great. And she's like, oh, I'm just cold out here. Just miserable. Like throws cold water on everything. And he's like, he starts rubbing her shoulders. Like, does that feel good? Yeah. If you had a normal body temperature, bitch.
Yeah. No kidding. She's like melting him to death.
I didn't say that. Keep rubbing.
She's like, it's worth it.
I like the new character you're doing.
Yeah, I like that, Jay.
Just mean. Yells and screams.
I feel like you're the id of her. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, you know what? Let's get you inside, little lady. Princesses shouldn't be out in the cold.
Yeah. She's so, like, fine.
So then they go inside. Well, then they go inside because they're about to kiss. They're about to kiss. And he's like, oh, no, let's get you back inside. We shouldn't be making out at a middle school dance. So then she's like, was it something?
I guarantee you, everything you said at that middle school dance.
It was everything you said.
Well, it's certainly nothing you did. I mean, it's like everything you said and everything you did. There's nothing to keep me here. But he gets all emo and runs inside. And she's like, was it something I said? And he's like, no. I mean, it was your breath, but still, this has been the best night of my life. But the truth is, I can't do this to you because I know what it's like to be left behind. You're still going to die and leave her behind, whether you fuck her or not. You may as well leave her with the bang.
You, I can't do. What a fucking Capricorn.
Yeah, you fucking, tease. Okay,
this is fuckboy behavior.
It is. That
totally.
Literally. Yeah.
He's learning. He's learning quickly. I'll give him that.
Yeah, it is fuckboy behavior. Yeah.
So you may be a snowman, but at the end of the day, you still a man. You see.
So she goes, it's okay. You know, for someone who has no relationship experience, you're one heck of a romantic. And he goes, I thought you weren't a hugger. And she goes, I'm making an exception. I'm not going to lie. I got really horny just now. Let's take this to the next level.
But then...
Can you check the janitor's closet?
The shaft music happens and the sheriff is back. To see, he sees that's when he sees the ATM.
This is what it is because he's. Walking.
Oh, they're just running back and forth on the video.
They got it. No, they got it. They're getting it.
So he's. That's right. Because before he was just taking a picture because he just wanted a picture of Jack for no good reason. But now he's walking and he's like trying to figure out this. He's trying to figure out this crime. He's like, "Who are you? Some youthful prankster? Are you deviant? Stimulated by the freezing cold of your naked flesh, longing to see the face of the ugly, horrified by your exposed nether regions." Oh, hi. Sorry. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hi. So then he is looking around the scene of the crime and he's like, you like that art, don't you, monster? And he comes across the ATM and he's like, wait a minute. That has a camera on it. I got you now, you son of a bitch. So I was thinking, oh my God, he's going to get him turning into a snowman. Because if he has that ATM camera and it's pointed right at where he was the statue, he's going to see him turn into a snowman.
From a
snowman. No, it's just him streaking.
Again, he would have seen him turn into a snowman, and then he would have gone to the... Ronnie, you missed this. We decided that the gay villain is also the mayor, and the mayor is making him find the snowman. He would have gone back and said, no, he's a good snowman. And the gay queen says, that's that hair, you little bitch. You're going to get him. You're going to put him in jail, and then I'm going to fuck a snow dick.
Now, let me say something.
Shade button.
I would like to say something. This sheriff has enough connections and wherewithal to be able to pull a video from an ATM, which means you have to go through certain processes, fill out some forms, and yet he does not have the ability just to go into Kathy's diner, which is where Jack is currently in the kitchen cooking up food. So Jack is there. Like, all he has to do is walk in there. But Jack is there, and he's making eggnog for the diner, or for the cafe, I should say. And he's got fans all on him in the kitchen because it's hot in the kitchen to keep him cold. And he's like, I want to bring this eggnog out to the people. And she's like, but it's hot. It's hot in the dining room. She's like, I know, but I just want to say hi to everyone.
Anybody but you.
The stakes are so high right now, guys. He's willing to risk his life for that eggnog.
She says then, she's like, everyone, this has become my favorite tradition the night before Christmas. So now we know where we are. Family, friends. So apparently everyone's just here on Christmas Eve. We're just family, coworkers. She's making her fucking people work. No one's there with their families. Fuck that.
This is why no one likes this lady. I'm telling
you're gonna fill up my coffers.
The reason the whole town's there is because they have a family member that she's forcing to work there. They're like, okay, I guess we'll just do Christmas at the sweet potato bitch's place.
Yeah.
Well, we have family and friends and then coworkers, and then the sheriff comes out of the bathroom and goes, and criminals, we've all been wondering who committed the crimes, and that's when Lauren Holly's like, was he wearing sunglasses in the bathroom?
That was great.
I swear to God, I don't know if that was written or not, but
that
damn
was the best line.
It's
and Kathy's like, wait a minute, how long have you been in the bathroom?
He wants to make an entrance. He's like, enough, you guys. I'm out here every day working for you, keeping you safe, and what do I get? Never a thank you, always a giggle, a patronizing remark. Since I've been sheriff, we haven't had a single murder at Hope Springs. And they're like, well, we've never had a murder.
Mel's like, we haven't had anything in 100 years.
There's 34 people here.
And it's Mel who's saying it. She's like, we haven't even had a murder in 100 years. Bullshit, you probably killed whoever you got that scarf off of, and that's why it still had their...
And Lacey Chabert says, it's Christmas Eve! And Craig takes his glasses, and this is where he should have looked at the camera, because he says, crime doesn't take a holiday.
This was a direct camera address moment. Yeah.
He should have done that. I would have loved that.
This is where, to me, this is where Jack says, it's okay. Me saying sorry, it's not enough. This is where, for me and Ronnie, this activated my part of my brain where this is like Jesus being taken in, like being arrested and saying, you guys, I'm doing this for you.
So Craig Robinson is Pontius Pilate?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Just making sure. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think either that or he's the one. And I think she's, of course, Mary Magdalene. And it's she should be Judas
the ATM
though.
Is Judas.
He's like, I'm sorry, Christ, like, I'm betraying you.
So Jack is like, I broke the law.
I got $3 for charging extra at your normal bank ATM. 30 pieces.
Oh God! What will I do now? I'm gonna go hand myself with the other ATMs.
Jack is like, listen, I broke the law. I have to accept the consequences. They're like, well, the consequences are that you're being arrested for lewd behavior. I'm going to be on the sexual predators list. Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm going to rethink this for a moment.
And Mel's like, he's different than us. He can't be in a prison. And then you see, did you see like the one black man extra in the back who is dabbing his eyes? Because apparently this is making him cry. Y'all, extra work was giving on this. I mean, it was just like, mugging.
The doctor
There was also a really pasty, bald white guy in the front who just kept going, darn it.
Yes. I encourage people, watch the scene, but then go back and just watch the extras, which is what we did. Because we were starting to get high at this point when I was watching the movie. And we laughed and laughed because it is Ardmore Little Theater extra.
Wow. It's fantastic. That is a layup level.
Also, yeah. So, you know, so Mel is like, you know, he's different from us, Nate. This is Mel's the thrift shop lady. Yep. And then Nicole, I guess Nicole's the waitress, I think. I don't remember who Nicole is. She goes, what do you mean different? And then Dr. Dottie, drunk off of three martinis and five eggnogs, steps forward and goes, he's a snowman that magically came to life. Remember that muscular snowman from the Snow Sculpture Festival? Remember the one all of you? I know this group of ladies remembers it.
I'm a doctor.
She said, I'm a doctor. I'm going to see y'all at the QAnon meeting next week. I'll be there.
So Dottie says this legitimately crazy thing. Oh, he's different because he's a snowman that magically came to life. And
everyone goes,
Jane goes, I thought he looked familiar. That explains why he's so comfortable without a shirt on. Okay, this all makes sense.
Kathy's like, what the hell? Everybody believes that he's a snowman? They're like, it's Christmas, girl.
She goes, it's course. Christmas. And that's when I metaphorically threw up all my papers.
Yeah. Mel says to her, she says, well, a man. Man, that suite has got to be magic, don't you think? And then I thought,
no, that's fair.
That's when I would believe, because men are pigs and fucking assholes.
That's
and
true,
so I don't believe that.
Cheated on her yet?
I don't.
Oh my god, maybe he is a snowman.
He is a snowman.
And she's like, you're right, he is a sweet man. In fact, that reminds me, I've got to tell you the story, Jack. He's like, sorry to interrupt, I don't care about your story. I am very sweet.
Oh, then so later on, is this where he's being fingerprinted? And he's like, you burned your prints off.
Yeah, he has no fingerprints.
So
it's hot, and so he's like sweating, and he was like you burned your prints off. And Jack is like, no, I was born like this. And then Lady Gaga enters, makes a surprise cameo, break. It was wonderful.
They could afford it.
I'm sorry, I would sing, but I'm an actor now. So, this whole like hand wringing over what's going on with the snowman. So then, of course, she comes in and she's like, you better let my man go. Please, please don't crucify him. And he's like, oh, he's going to say he showed his wiener to people behind a scarf. But still, and she's like, please, no. He's like, you better give me the bail of $2,000.
Well, also, when Kathy storms in to confront the sheriff, she goes, Nathan Aloysius Hunter.
Yeah, he does say that. Again, I don't know where this guy gets his names, but sure.
And the sheriff is now losing his mind because he's like, he's a sleeper agent.
Yes, I'm telling you, like, everyone's gone nuts at this
really
point in the movie.
So she's like, okay.
It feels crazy, but then when you think about it,
makes sense.
Yeah. So then she's like, fine, I'm going to go to the restaurant. I'm going to see if I've got $2,000 in the safe, which I probably do since I'm the only business that seems to be operating in this town. I'll be right back.
Right back.
And
you should make that in a night. That's the thing. That would have been in your fucking till.
You're not spending any money on repairs.
So. Yeah, let me guess. Your sweet potato pie sucks.
Yeah, your car is from 1977. Your stair would have still be broken if it were not for a mattress.
You're a miser.
Came in.
Yeah, you're not. Money. You're not doing anything.
You got money, okay?
So. And he says, "I'm going." Craig Robb, the sheriff says, "I'm going home. You can bail him out on the 26th."
That is the cruelest thing possible. Just as
she's like, no. And she says, he said, you're lucky I don't lock you up. And then, because Christina, you better make a fucking meme of this for our social medias. Craig Robinson says, hell, we might make a podcast out of this. You're welcome, show. You are welcome. We just did it. Only 5 hours long. We did it.
She's like, you're lucky I don't punch you in the face, but I haven't punched anyone in the face since my husband died.
I'm sorry, what did he die of again? A bruise. Cancerous bruise. Very cancerous bruise. After he fell down the stairs. The cancer stairs.
Exactly.
Cancer stairs. I think killed her husband.
And the owl attacked her. The owl attacked him, yeah.
The owl.
So Jack is very ill. He is Jack sweating. He's dying and everything. And Kathy's like, he needs ice water. He's sweating. And he's like, well, sleeper agents are trained to regulate their body functions. Not my problem.
He is actually lost his mind at this point.
Lost his mind. He thinks that he's a sleeper agent who, like Russia, who is going to infiltrate the United States by breaking glass and shrieking.
Yes.
So Kathy's like, I don't think I thought this through, but just in case. Jack is saying this. He's like, in case I don't make it, in case I die here in this jail cell, like so many other heroes of this country. She's like, no, it's listen.
Still the other snowman.
Yes. She's like, save your just in cases. I'll be right back.
She runs back to the restaurant and she looks and she doesn't have enough money, but she's going to try it anyway. And he's like, I will not take your less than $2,000. And guess what happens? The entire town shows up and they're like, you free our prisoner.
They say, give us Barabbas.
Give me cop or give me death.
So then she goes back to the diner. Well, she goes back to the... Actually, she doesn't even bring up... She doesn't even rally the town, which is, by the way, how shitty she is. She's like, hold on, I'll get the... I'm going to go to where the entire town is, and I'm going to find my money. And she goes, she doesn't have enough money. She doesn't even ask anyone to help out. So she comes back. She's like, I've got $84. He's like, well, that's not enough. But then the town is like, no. Because doesn't the town come out? Don't they
the
like...
The town rally? Comes yeah. out, and they're rallying around her. And they're starting to put all this money and they put it in a hat. And then because he's a cheap motherfucker, he's sitting there actually counting the money in the hat. And he says, you're $10 short.
The child arrived. Turns out the child is the son. It's a twist. Oh. That has very little anything to do with anything. And he's like, come on, here, dad.
What a lip dick of a story.
And so then he's like, he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? He's like, I'm helping, dad. He's like, and then the sheriff is like, this man did a bad thing. He's a sleeper agent from Russia trying to get his own chops.
Good Lord.
Because he's my friend. He's like, well, you shouldn't be friends with adults like that. So I would reconsider that if I were you.
So they finally get him out. And then Jack comes out, but it's too late, guys. Jack dies. He dies in the snow.
He comes out. He's like, they lay him down in the snow, in the snowbank on the side of the police station. So that way the cold brings him back to life. But it's too late.
I wish he would have actually melted like that then, person, like that drinks the wrong goblet in Indiana Jones. That woman.
The budget would have never done that.
But here's what I love. They leave him on the snowbank. They realize it's too late. He's gone. He's dead.
The doctor goes, Kathy, he's gone.
Yeah, they're like, leave him, Kathy. Step away. We're leaving now. Just so leave him in the snow.
No Paul to check. No nothing. Jack.
They just leave him on the side.
They leave his dead body.
The entire town is like, just leave him.
They leave a carcass on the side of the sheriff.
The sheriff will burn it.
And the most unrealistic thing here is that nobody was like, hey, wait a minute, give me my money back.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mortimer did want his money back.
Mortimer tried to con some money back. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Good for him. He's like, my wife almost fucked that dead person. I want my 20 back at the very least.
So she does. She kisses him, then takes the scarf. Then he's awake.
Well, because they all start walking. Well, because
the kiss is magic. Gingivitis is magic.
The kiss was the magic.
Yeah. The kiss of life, like Shadow sang.
I gotta say, whenever everybody's walking away from him, and then you hear Kathy and the entire town again, like community theater, goes whoop, and all turn to look at him, and I lost.
We all agreed. No one say her name today. Kathy, who said her name? Who was that? Oh my God, it was Jack. We forgot to tell Jack about the rule. Don't say Kathy's name today.
Well, Jack is still with us. We don't know why. And guess what? He's not only reanimated, he feels hard. And he feels his skin hurts.
He feels it
and
stiff.
He's uncomfortable.
Something stiff down there.
Yeah, he's like, my nuts are like, they're up in my throat right now. My skin hurts. She's like, you're cold. Oh,
he's cold. God. He's cold.
I'm not the only frigid person in this relationship anymore. Okay, I love you.
I love you.
And Mortimer's like, I'm cold. She's like, shut up.
Shut the fuck up, Mortimer.
Shut up, Mortimer. And then we get...
So he became a real man.
There's a Coldplay song.
Yeah, Coldplay. Oh, get it? Coldplay.
I just got...
Oh, wow.
So
he becomes...
So we have a nice little Pinocchio twist here. And
vanilla
nice.
Ice would have been cheaper.
They should have. Yep. They should have done it.
That is a vaudeville joke, and I respect that joke.
Yeah. What about ice? Anything by Ice Spice? Come on.
Ice Spice. Something that's too edgy. They couldn't have gotten her.
Yeah, they would never. But so now he is now not only is he now warm blooded, but he also lost all of his skills because now Kathy is doing the repairs.
Now she's fixing the heater.
Did you guys notice at the very end when they kissed?
Well, he did become a real man. He's not perfect anymore.
The doctor kisses the teacher, and then everyone else starts kissing. Like in the background, everyone now it's like broken the curse. Now everyone can fuck everybody.
Everyone can fuck.
Love is an illness. We should spread it, y'all.
Do you notice he inscribes that book that says home repairs, and he says, I know who your second love should be. It's you.
Yourself.
Oh God. Don't do that.
I hated that. Again, what a fucking
I hated that too. And does this mean you're cheating already or what? And he's like, guess what? I'm not gonna love you, but you should love yourself, okay?
You should repair yourself. By the way, what's the name of the woman something Mixon? Katie Mixon. You know what? We talked a lot about Craig Robinson, but she was
fantastic
really going to town. Yeah. She was in every scene, she was making these little faces. She was
different colors in some scenes, because some scenes she was very bronze, and then in other scenes she was not.
She was making the most of what she had. Everyone was working really hard in this movie to elevate the material. I'm going to say this.
The most unrealistic thing in the entire movie for me was the fact that this woman did not have $2,000 in her bank, but that she was suddenly going to buy tickets to Hawaii over Christmas.
Can you imagine?
That's a $10,000 trip.
Well, listen, she wasn't willing to go into her savings for some like melting dick. But now that it's real dick, she suddenly had it. You see how it works?
Listen, she's like, oh, he's still an idiot. I'm taking him to Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. And I'll just tell him his wife.
I'm taking him to her hamburger hut, you know,
I want to bring up a very important point. When Jack was dying on the side of the police station there, and the entire town rallied to put in the few scraps, even the children put in a few dollars to save Jack. Let me tell you something. There was one person who did not put in a single dime because she didn't even bother to show up. Chriselle. Where was Chriselle?
Where was her favorite customer?
Favorite customer apparently decided not to come in on the traditional Christmas Eve meal and help out the town snowman. So I don't know. I would rethink Chriselle's loyalty to you, because I don't think it's going both ways.
Yeah. She's probably home monitoring her child that she's locked in a crate for eating a fucking pancake with some chocolate chips in it on the day.
She's like, she's like, Susie, you put me in an awkward position asking for that chocolate chip pancake on a Tuesday. Of course I had to say yes because I don't want to be a bitch. But maybe next time you think about what this does to me before you ask dumb questions.
And now one Tic Tac, two Tic Tacs, three Tic Tacs. There we go. That's it for dinner.
Oh, you're done. Well, that was it. That was the glorious Frosty Jack. Hot Frosty.
Do you guys think, to me, this was the worst possible way this could have ended, was with him becoming human. And because it feels like she needed a man all along. It wasn't
real. That's what all these movies are. One of them is that, like, women don't be ridiculous and have
it would have made more sense for them to get married and she became a snow queen because she's a bitch.
Then they moved to Greenland.
Yes.
By the way, like, he was not long for this world because it was going to get warm soon and he was going to die. So they had to do a workaround. They had to make him become a human.
Yeah. True. Or like he just died. And then she was like, well,
learned to get on with her life. Yeah.
No, that's probably too sad. But yeah, the whole becoming a human, it's almost like they're devaluing snowmanship. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that they were just like, well, that's not valid. You know, I
mean,
the
dream is to
become human. Yeah. Well, like the only dream is to really become human. And I think that he was the happiest thing on there and he wasn't human at all. So why did we have to bring him down to our level?
I think he definitely demoted himself. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And she ruined it by kissing him. She gave him the human cooties and turned him into a human. I mean, it's actually just become a horror movie. If you're a snow person and you're watching this, this is some zombie shit.
Because
she just turned him and now he's like, to them, he's like dead. He's a monster, you know, and now it's going to happen. They're like, oh my God, are they going to come for our children next? Watch out for the kissing frigid lady.
Yes. Exactly. And then there's a bunch of bloopers, y'all, and that's one of the best parts of the movie.
The bloopers were funny.
Bloopers were great. They were great.
The movie. That's our 11-part series.
Well, it only took 5 hours for us to get through it. So,
but I think this was our longest one ever, actually.
I think so, too.
I literally have a whole new house of furniture and a hot tub removed and a roof. I've got the roof done today. I mean, it's been a very busy day over here.
Very busy day.
Thanks for putting up with that, you guys. Oh, and thanks for doing this. This is such a lovely tradition.
It's wonderful tradition.
Thank you, guys.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, we love you guys. Listening and making it through this enormous marathon. And we will catch you next year doing the same thing with a whole new shitty.
Yes. Happy holidays, everyone.
We'll see you next year.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's Our Favorite Streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She Gets an A from Us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
We Love Her on the Rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're Taking the Gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.